Hi there, this is Martin from Hillview. Really sorry, but due to a technical problem, the first roughly 50 minutes of this sermon is missing from the MP3. If you go onto the sermon page on the website and click on the book icon, you'll be able to download a PDF of the notes from the sermon up to that point. So I would encourage you to do that because it will help the sermon to make sense when you press play in the audio. So download the notes from the sermon webpage, the little book icon. Thanks very much. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Here's the thing. That message is no abstract message. Perhaps it feels like that to some of us so far. And I want to ask the question, how can we hold on to this? How can we consider this in the weeks, in the run-up to Christmas? How can we make real and dwell on and truly soak in the reality that Jesus came to seek and save the lost? Well, I want to suggest that one of the ways that we can soak in this wonderful truth this Advent season is just by thinking through who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus of Luke chapter 19, verse 10? When he came to seek us and to save us, what did that look like? How did Jesus do that? What did he say? How did he live and move and breathe? What was Jesus like? Okay? So as we think about what does it mean that Jesus came to seek and save me out? Well, let's look and examine in the Bible. What was Jesus like? How did he go about doing that? And in order to help us with that this morning, I want to ask a slightly strange question, okay? To help us ground this, to help us consider who this Jesus is in these coming weeks. Here's the question I want us to think through. Do you like Jesus? Do you like Jesus? We often talk about, you often hear me standing here talking about our love for Jesus, our devotion to Jesus, our adoration of Jesus, our commitment to him, how we want to give our lives for him. And that's right. You won't hear me stop saying that. I'll probably say those things a few times before the end of this message. But I have a different question this morning. Do you like him? Do you like Jesus? Does he make you smile? Does Jesus make you happy? Does Jesus give you a little bit of that sense of peace and comfort? Does he stir your affections? Do you want to know Jesus more? Do you want to know more of what he was like? What he might speak into your heart this morning? Do you like him? One of my favorite buttons on my phone is a shortcut that I have set up. And on my little second screen, John's going to flash it up here in the PowerPoint. I've got a bunch of, there we go, good verse. Here's my little second screen to the right-hand side of my home screen on my phone. I've got BBC Sport, you know, important stuff, Twitter, Facebook, you know. My Fitness Pal, which I don't know why that's on the second screen. That needs to be five or six screens away. But anyway, one of my favorite shortcuts on my phone is this little button that I've set up called Take Me Home. I can press that button when I'm in my car or wherever. And you know what? Even if I was like in some distant part of Eastern Europe, I could hit that button and with one tap on my phone, it would tell me how I need to get home. It would just tell me step by step in car or public transport or even walking. That would take a long time if I was in Eastern Europe. It can just tell me how to get home. And that button is incredibly comforting. I can be hundreds of miles away, and I have been in Britain and indeed in France recently. I pressed that button. I can be hundreds of miles away, have no idea where I am, but I can push that button. And you know what? If I just know, okay, all I have here is a T-junction. Do I need to go left or right? Which way is going to get me home that little bit more? Then I begin to feel better in myself. And here's my encouragement this morning. This Advent season, I want us to press that button, okay? I want us to press the take me home button. When we're feeling lost, when we're feeling beaten down, we're feeling a little bit ruined, even overcome with a sense of perishing, can we press this button? Can we press the take me home button and begin to feel safe again? Our surroundings might not immediately change, but we're not fearful anymore because we know that one step at a time, Jesus is leading us home. And one way for us to know this sense of safety that we're traveling home, one way we can press this button, this take me home button, is to understand who Jesus is. It's to understand what he was like. It's to like him. Yes, indeed, to love him, but to think about what kind of Savior we have, to appreciate him in his kindness, in the way he spoke, in the things he did. I am slightly concerned that we can sometimes over-spiritualize Jesus. We can become so concerned with worrying about whether we are properly and appropriately devoted to Jesus that he can become abstract. He can become mystifying. He can become spiritualized. And here's the point of the Advent season. Christmas does not allow us to do that with the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation does not allow us to do that. Jesus will not be made unknowable. Jesus will not be made abstract. Jesus will not be made theoretical. So we need to ask the question, do we like him? Do we like what we see of Jesus? We press that button, take me home, and we begin to remind ourselves of who he is, and we begin to feel safe again. That's my prayer for us in these coming weeks. I want to give two examples from Jesus' life where his words and actions are so wonderfully compelling and heartening that we can see him afresh for who he is. And then hopefully, I pray, we like him. I want us to like Jesus. And in liking him, we love him. And in loving him, he leads us home. In liking him, we can't help but love him. And in loving him, he leads us home. So first of all, I want to look at the context. Some of you are thinking, how on earth did you get here? Well, one of the reasons is the context of this verse in Luke chapter 19. The context of our main verse today in Luke chapter 19, and indeed just before that in Luke chapter 18. We looked at these passages over a few series in our Luke series, so I'm not going to spend much, a few sermons, sorry, in our Luke series, so I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I just want us to look really briefly at what Jesus does. Okay, so go to verse 35 of Luke chapter 18. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, and this blind man starts screaming at Jesus for him to help. And though the crowds around him shush him, tell him to be quiet, you know, Jesus is too important for your little worries, this blind beggar continues to shout out. And he calls for Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. He stops. That's incredible. This amazing religious teacher, this incredible leader, this healer, this revolutionary, indeed, God himself, he stops when he hears a beggar by the side of the road crying out to him for mercy. Do you like this, Jesus? He stops. That's awesome. And he commands that the man is brought to him. And when the man comes, what does Jesus say? Look at verse 40 of Luke chapter 18. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Do you like this, Jesus? This man's in deep need. He's in peril. He's been crying out. He's been in need all the days of his life. And he's brought to Jesus and says, Jesus says, what do you want me to do? What do you want? I'm here for you. I'm here for you. What do you want me to do? Isn't Jesus captivating? Isn't he kind? Isn't this surprising? Can you see the wonder of this? God himself to this blind beggar on the road. What do you want me to do? Let's keep going. He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Don't you like Jesus? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, I want to see. Okay, you can see. And Jesus even almost makes it sound like the man should be given some credit for this. Your faith has made you well, Jesus says. Isn't he amazing? Even suggesting something like that. I love Jesus. Okay, so here he is. He's on the way to Jericho. And now in Luke chapter 19, he's going to meet another man. He enters Jericho and he comes across this man called Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus isn't screaming and shouting. Zacchaeus is hiding. He's an evil man. He's an unjust man. He's a cruel man. He's treated his people of Israel, he's treated them extremely poorly. And he's hiding. Verse 4 of chapter 19. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Don't you like Jesus? He's brilliant. He doesn't walk by. Man, how many times do we walk by someone in need, avoid someone, not go to that difficult place? But Jesus not only stops for those who scream from the side of the road, but Jesus goes searching. Jesus goes seeking. He looks up. He goes out of his way to enter into Zacchaeus' life. What kind of man is this who looks up to this cruel tax collector and says, hey, Zacchaeus, I see you. Come on down. I want to go and have dinner in your home. What kind of man is this? What kind of God is this? Do you like him? Zacchaeus liked him. Zacchaeus liked him. Verse 6. He hurried and came down and received him joyfully. They have an amazing time. They enjoy company together. Zacchaeus welcomes him in gladly. And he encounters Jesus in such an incredible way that after one visit, his life was massively changed. He made right all the things that he had done wrong. And then we get to verse 9 of Luke 19. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because I stopped and looked up and called him down, had dinner with him because he saw what I was really like, because he liked me, and in liking me, he loved me. I've led him home. Today, salvation has come to this house because he's a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Are you captivated by this Jesus? Do you like him? Are you stirred by him, the way he is, the things he said, the things he did? When you're feeling lost this Christmas season, press that take me home button. Your circumstances might not immediately change. You won't be there at your final destination, but press that button. Remind yourself of who Jesus is. That's what I mean. Remind yourself of who Jesus is. When we do that, we like him. And in liking him, we love him. And in loving him, he brings us home. He came to seek and save people who are lost, normal people like the blind beggar, like Zacchaeus, like me, and our second example, like Peter. Jesus' disciple, Peter. In the closing chapter of John's Gospel, flip over a few pages to John's Gospel. We're going to look at a few verses from 20, 21. In the closing chapters of John's Gospel, we hear this amazing story of Peter. And for time, we're only going to focus on from the time of Jesus' resurrection. In the opening verses of John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene comes and tells Peter and John that the tomb is empty. And they start to run towards the tomb. And it's really funny to me that in verse 2, I think it is, John says that he outran Peter to the tomb. I just love little details like that. John just happens to drop in, oh yeah, we both ran, but by the way, I got there first. I won the race. And they both go in to the tomb. Then let's look at, they go in and they see the empty tomb, and then verse 10 of chapter 20 comes after that. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Huh. Okay. Is that what you might have expected? You see an empty tomb. Jesus has just been put in the tomb. It's empty. Let's go home. Okay. Mary Magdalene then sees Jesus, and then let's pick up at verse 18 of John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, not only have I seen the empty tomb, but I have seen the Lord. And then she began to explain that he had said these things to her. What do you expect to read next? Well, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So Mary Magdalene comes and says, I've not only just seen an empty tomb, but I have seen the risen Christ. And then what's the next thing we hear about the disciples? They're in a room with doors locked, full of fear. Can you relate to these guys? Don't you love that you can relate to some of Jesus' first followers? They're petrified. The question is, what will Jesus do? What will Jesus do into that context? Look, it says it right there. Jesus came through the locked door somehow and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Don't you like Jesus? Not angry, not disappointed, not frustrated. The fact that they're cowering in fear after all that's happened, Jesus comes and speaks peace into their lives. No rebuke. He just speaks peace to them. And he shows them his wounds. He shows them that it is truly him. And then it says there in verse, second part of verse 20, that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad. And the question is, well, what is going to happen next? Well, pick it up at verse 26, and it's 8 days later, and it says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. And Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said again to them, right? Peace be with you. Don't you think the disciples should be in full-on evangelism mode at this point? They've seen the empty tomb. They've heard that Jesus is alive. They've seen Jesus come to them. He's spoken not rebuke and frustration, but he's spoken peace to them. He's even showed them the wounds on his hand. And then 8 days later, they're back in the same room. They're cowering in fear. The doors are locked, and Jesus comes in and speaks peace to them again. Don't you love Jesus? And then we get to John chapter 21, and you'd think that Peter would now be in full-on evangelism mode for sure, telling everyone about this risen Lord. But look what it says in verse 2 of chapter 21. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, let's go and plant a church. No, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Then they said, we will go with you. We went out into the boat and they caught nothing. Back to the day job. Back to where they were right before Jesus had even ever come across them. Let's just go fishing. I don't know. Who knows? They may have been doing all sorts of other incredible things and they just needed a little bit of sabbatical, right? Or a little bit of Sabbath in the midst of all that. I don't know. But all that John records is, you know, some days after this moment, they go fishing. Okay? And they're struggling and they're toiling and it's not working out for them. So the question is again, how will Jesus respond to this? Well, look at verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples didn't know it was him. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net out on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Don't you like Jesus? He just comes and stands at the side of the shore and just blesses them. Just say, you caught any fish? No, it's been a rough night. It's been terrible. Oh, well, you know what? Do this and throw the net across and then they pull in this incredible, bountiful supply of fish more than they could ever imagine. Don't you like Jesus? Peter liked Jesus. Look at how he responds in verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. I just love it. Why? Because normally, what do people do when they're jumping in to go swimming? They take their shirt off, right? Not Peter, for some reason. I don't know why. But Peter puts his top on, and it says, I just love it, it says, he threw himself into the sea. It doesn't sound like a very dignified dive to me. It's just like, which is just the picture I have of Peter. He's just like, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And he jumps into the sea. Where am I? Okay. And then it gets better because it says there, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And again, I don't know, but I just get this picture of Peter like flailing in the water and the boat just calmly and serenely sailing by and getting to the boat thinking, what is this guy Peter doing? He's crazy. But Peter just loves Jesus. He's like, I'm not going on the boat. I'm going to dive in the water to get to see Jesus because he liked him. He liked him. Jesus just showed him how to get a bunch of fish, and he's right there again. This Jesus who they'd ignored and pushed away, Peter liked him. And then look at what Jesus has done when they get to shore. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus has cooked breakfast for them. He's gathered sticks, or charcoal, sorry. He's made a fire. He's got bread for them. He's put fish on the fire. He's made breakfast for them. Even though he's already made breakfast, he wants Peter to get in on that with him. Jesus said to them, verse 10, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Isn't this Jesus amazing? Don't you like him? Are you not captivated and amazed? Does he not make you smile? Doesn't he make you feel safe and secure? He's just so relatable too. You can know him. He doesn't mind people who don't have it all together. He doesn't just speak in high and lofty and unintelligible ways, but he relates to people. He keeps it simple enough for people like Peter and people like me. And what's so amazing about this is some of you may be thinking, this all sounds pretty irreverent. It's not. It's because Jesus came like that we worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's because he's so kind and so close to us and makes so much sense to us that we bow down in worship and give him our all. Don't these words of Peter himself ring true in his letter? Peter wrote a letter, and listen to what he says. Though you have not seen Jesus, this is us, right? Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. So you rejoice with joy and this inexpressible sense of the glory of God and the glory that is within us by his Spirit, and we respond in worship to him, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the response of people who know what Jesus is like. This is the response of people who truly like Jesus, truly understand how he came in his flesh. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to take us home. Jesus will not be made theoretical. He will not be made abstract. The message of the incarnation this time of year will not allow for it. So as we dwell on him this Christmas season, press this button, take me home. Begin to think through who Jesus is. And yes, your immediate circumstances won't vanish. It's one step at a time walking with Jesus in this life. But as you begin to think of who he is, what he said, what he did, how he brought grace and peace and forgiveness and healing. And yes, indeed, as you begin to think of his death on the cross, his resurrection to newness of life, the hope that he brought people like the blind beggar and Peter and Zacchaeus and so many others. When we do that, we like Jesus. And in liking him, we love him. And in loving him, he leads us home. Are you lost this morning? Get to know Jesus. He came to search for you. He is seeking you out. And you can be a Christian for 30 years and still feel lost. Any of you feel lost this morning? Come back to him. Get to know him more. And I pray that there are some here this morning who for the very first time feel in their spirit Jesus seeking them out. And they feel, yeah, you know what? I do like this Jesus. He does stir my affections. I do want to worship him now. I do want him to lead me home. Thank you, God, for this time of Advent when we can think about the fact that Jesus came to seek and save.